So that was evolution in the lab, but what about in the wild? Our next guest, Alistair Wilson, is from Edinburgh University, where he and his team have been studying the evolution of Soay sheep. Now, the males of these sheep, if you have big horns, it means big success. So the bigger your horns, the better you can compete with other males, and the more likely you are to be able to breed. Now, you might think that the males would have evolved to have the biggest horns possible, but in the unpredictable wild weather, things aren't quite that simple. Hi, Alistair. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
So, what is it that you found with the Soay sheep?
Well, this is, I should say, this is work really led by a colleague of mine, Matt, who sadly has gone to Glastonbury today. But Matt decided he wanted to take a closer look at how natural selection is really acting on these traits of horn size and horn growth. As you said, if you're a male sheep, it's pretty important to have big horns, because when it comes to breeding time, you actually have to fight with the other males to try and get access to the females. So I guess what he expected and what we all expected was that bigger horns, faster growing horns were going to be better. And it turns out that some of the time that is the case. But there's also kind of another layer of complexity, which is that if you want to grow horns very quickly, you've got to put a lot of energy into doing that. And the Soay sheep live on an island of St Kilda, which is characterised by really quite strong variation in the environment. Every now and then we hit a year where the food kind of runs out and conditions get really, really tough. And it turns out if you've put too much energy into growing horns, then you're very unlikely to get through the winter. So there's kind of a trade-off here. And if you grow your horns too quickly, there's quite a high chance of dying if you hit sort of some bad conditions.
So the sheep are really taking a gamble then, because they know that, well, they know that if their horns are as big as they possibly can be, then they're more likely to have the success in later life. But they are betting on the fact that their first winter will be quite a mild one.
Well, that's it. You can kind of think of it as different strategies. If you have a good season coming up, then it's definitely better to have gone for it in terms of growing your horns. But of course, if you get that wrong, you might end up dead, in which case it doesn't matter how big your horns would have been, because you're not going to get any breeding success the next season.
Now, does this mean that the sheep are either born with the potential to have big horns or born with the potential to survive the first winter?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, but what we've been able to find is that, yes, there is some genetic variation for these traits, and that translates actually to genetic kind of co-variation between the horn growth and the survival. What that means is selection is acting kind of at the genotype. It's not a case of sort of a complete genetic predetermination. These genes will give you faster growing horns and these ones will give you slower growing horns in that sort of categorical way. But there are certainly there's some genotypes that have a tendency to go in one direction or another. And it's this genetic variation that natural selection can act on.
OK. Now, we've just heard about evolution in the lab, and it's very easy in the lab to control the conditions under which your organisms are evolving. In the wild, obviously, you don't have that option. You can't say, well, it's going to be this temperature this winter. So how do you actually study them?
Well, it's certainly tricky. Obviously, we've learnt an awful lot and we'll continue to learn an awful lot by studying evolution in the lab. But really what we're trying to do is precisely to tackle head-on those problems of changing environments, because if we want to understand how evolution does occur in sort of the real natural world, then we are actually going to have to work out how we can integrate all these changing environmental variables, you know, as you say, temperature or population size or anything. Fortunately, ecologists have been working for decades on exactly what these variables do and how they affect organisms like our Soay sheep. And so the challenge that we're facing is to try and integrate perhaps what geneticists can do in the lab with what the ecologists are telling us, and to try and integrate these sources of complexity rather than avoid them as you would do in the laboratory.
So can you take a genetic profile of your population and then try and use that to estimate how well they will cope with, say, a bad winter coming up? Can you actually use the genes to predict success?
Well, I think we maybe aren't quite there yet, but that's, I guess, what we're working towards. We're trying to get an understanding of how changes in the environment will affect both natural selection and also the sort of genetic variation for different traits on which the selection can act. And I think really it's important if we can start to understand how environmental change in any form will affect those parameters, then we can actually start to build changing environments into predictive models of phenotypic evolution or evolution of traits.
Okay, so if the climate changes, as we are predicting that the climate should in fact be warming up, would this have an effect? So would we expect to see bigger horns on these sheep as the weather gets hotter?
Well, so certainly like a starting prediction might be that if the weather warms up, we get fewer and fewer of these bad years. And so the net result of that would be that selection generally is going to always favour fast growth in horns rather than, you know, sometimes favouring slow growth. And if that's the case, then we're going to have an increase in, if you like, the net selection for faster growth. And so we would expect evolution towards faster growing horns. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. So what does this tell us about the way that selection pressures balance each other? Because obviously we have the sexual selection here, which is that you need to have big horns to compete with your with the other males around and to actually breed. But we then have the external natural selection. Does one drive the other?
Well, I guess you can look at this problem in different ways. For me, I think of it all as being sort of different components of the total selection. And the key point is that selection can act in different ways through what we might call different components of fitness, whether that be reproduction or survival in your first year versus survival in your second year. So the idea really is that if we can get a handle on how these individuals are behaving throughout their whole lives, across a range of environments, then we can start to see how selection trades off either across different environments, across different ages, or through different components like survival and reproduction. And we can bring all of that together to try and get an idea of the total picture.
So when we say that an animal is fit and we're looking at the survival of the fittest, it could actually be that they would be very fit in one aspect, but that would in turn make them very unfit in another aspect.
That's it, exactly. And it can be a real problem, because sometimes the things you can measure might be survival. It may be much, much harder in your particular system to measure maybe the number of eggs produced or something like that. You can get quite a misleading sort of idea of what selection is doing if you only look at one sort of aspect of fitness at a time. The challenge is to try and get a whole complete picture of an individual's life, perhaps, and how its fitness is achieved through both surviving and reproducing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Alistair.
That was Alistair Wilson from the University of Edinburgh telling us how young sheep make an evolutionary gamble when they're growing big horns. Big horns could mean more success, but only if you survive your first winter.
The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.